I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission.
Good afternoon, Chris. Welcome back to the WFO Life Podcast. How are you today?
Doing great. Just trying to face my fears, you know, on this 21st day of August, so...
Awesome. Well, thank you for finding that reading from Dune, the book Dune, right?
Yep.
And I wanted to talk about fear. It has been a big week in my clinic and in my professional life because we're treating a lot of COVID-19 cases right now.
I can imagine.
And, you know, and when you see the what's going on, you know, if you go online somewhere, you're going to read about hospital, you know, getting busy. You're talking about ICU cases, talking about how many people are on the vent. It's always this like negative bombarding thing. But my experience has been that most of the people I'm treating, and I'm not making light, there are people that are getting very sick, but most of the people I'm treating have a bad cold, kind of a flu-like illness for the most part. And some of them require more treatment than others. But what is universal is you get this sense of fear. And what's happening is there's a lot of that going around. And I wanted to explore fear a little bit. And I think it's important that we understand what it is and what value it has. And, you know, I think we'll use, you know, COVID maybe as the backdrop or the context. But, I mean, gosh, look at all the, like, political uncertainty. You know, people have financial stressors because the economy's been down and all these types of things. I appreciate you kind of playing along with this because I know this is one that, you know, kind of when I threw it over to you, I thought, okay, on fear, what are we going to do here? But it kind of, I think everyone can relate to this. And I think, you know, as we normally do, we'll have, as we get into this, maybe some positive things one can do, some types of activities. So I hope you're down for that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like we talked about prior to going live, obviously, this is a topic that various times in my military training, I've either experienced or, you know, gotten some coaching on what to expect in terms of, you know, dealing with fear and anxiety and still being able to perform. So hopefully, as we talk, I can work in some of my personal experiences and, you know, just coping mechanisms, if you will.
Yeah, because fear is something that, like, as a soldier, it's normal. It's an emotion that is, you know, if you look at fear, it has both good and bad aspects of it. Fear is not a necessarily bad emotion from a standpoint that it's a normal built-in function that can prepare us to flee from danger or to prepare ourselves to, you know, survive some catastrophe. And it, sometimes it automatically triggers behaviors, even reflexes. Like if you put your, you know, you get in a scenario that's dangerous and your subconscious perceives it that way, you will react automatically.
Yeah.
But fear can be bad. And talk a little bit about that with regards to, as a soldier, if you kind of come under the grips of fear, there's a scenario where that could really stop your functioning.
Yeah, I mean... We had the benefit of having one of the more prolific authors on the topic of the experience of being in combat or the experience of having to kill another human being and everything that goes along with that. There's a guy, a retired, I think, Army Lieutenant Colonel named Grossman, you know, Dave Grossman. And he wrote a book that, you know, I know all Marine officers – have read it, and I think it's in a lot of other curriculums for the other services, but it's called On Killing. And he talked about, you know, just the visceral response to being in mortal combat for the first time. You know, not only you being in fear of your life, but having, you know, to kill another person, you know, and be, even though that you go through training, you do all these different things, when you're actually in it, you know, all of the biological responses that happen. And, you know, his book and other training is supposed to prepare you for that, saying, hey, it's okay to tremble a little bit. You know, it's like if you've ever been, you know, in a serious sporting event, or if you've ever gotten in a fist fight, you know, most people will recognize that you start to shake a little bit, and some people will be like, oh my God, am I like, you know, that afraid? But, you know, as you know, from the medical perspective, that's your body, you know, pumping the hormones through you, getting you ready for action.
Right.
It's not that you're, you know, mentally just like fearing for your life. I mean, there could be part of that, obviously, if you're in combat. But when it comes to stressful situations, I think if people are coached on why your body's doing that, you know, obviously there's a fear aspect, but that doesn't mean you can't perform. I think a lot of times people, you know, and they coach us on, there's a difference between fear and panic. And there's a difference between fear and anxiety and all these different things. And, you know, and the definition of courage in a lot of, you know, circles is, you know, not that you're not afraid, but it's being able to perform well in spite of, you know, the actual and perceived fear that you're having. So that's just a couple, you know, little anecdotes on, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Grossman and some of the things they expose us to. Say, hey, you know, it's okay if you're experiencing this and that you know that. And, you know, it allows you to perform, saying, you know, hey, it's my body getting ready for action. It's not that I'm going to be, you know, a weasel and not perform when I'm called to the task. So,
yeah, so that's kind of interesting, because it's preparing the soldier that's read that to understand that these are normal things that are going to occur. You're going to feel this way. You're going to want to run. You're going to want, you know, you might break out in a cold sweat, or your hands might shake. And then if you can breathe and just sort of get through that, then you can execute, you know, whatever mission or defend yourself, that type of thing.
Absolutely.
And I guess you mentioned the hormonal thing. That's exactly right. What happens, I think, with fear, especially in the context maybe we're talking about with like COVID-19, and, you know, everybody's like sitting and we're watching the, you know, ventilation rates and the hospitalizations, and we're seeing all this data, right? And it's kind of pouring out. But what I've noticed is that even the folks that really don't, they have a, you know, most people that get COVID-19, this is a fact, most people that get it have a mild to flu-like illness and they get well.
Yeah.
That's actually what happens to most people statistically. Well, the excessive worry about it triggers a hormonal response that is not good. And I think people living in fear right now actually suppresses immunity. If you don't believe that, go look up Google chronic stress and cortisol. Okay? When you have chronic stress, and fear is certainly, chronic fear is certainly one of these, that actually raises your cortisol level, which suppresses your immunity if it stays that way. Now, in the short run, cortisol is fine, like in a fight or flight, you know, bullet just whizzed past your head and you need to fight or flee. Okay, that's good. You want your cortisol to spike. That's why your hands shake and your heart pounds and your superhuman strength and break out in a sweat. But that actually, what you don't see is it actually spikes your immunity as well. So let's say you did get injured or something. In the short run, if you were acutely stressed, that's okay. That's going to boost your immunity. But chronic stress, triggered by chronic fear, high cortisol all the time, all of those benefits go away. It becomes a negative. It becomes a crisis for your immune system. Your white blood cells don't work as well. So I think that's part of why I want to talk about topics like this, because there's more that can be done than just sit around and wring our hands in the pandemic.
For sure.
There's always so much more that can be done. I even I posted it as exclusive content in the Future Focus Health Network inside of the WFO Life podcast tribe. That seems like a mouthful, but inside of there, I keep talking about putting exclusive content. I did a recording while I was out on an exercise earlier this morning, and it was just kind of my reflections on metabolic disease and COVID and all the things that we can do to sort of mitigate our risks. You know, like, it's not just, can I get my vaccine or can I socially distance? What else can we do? And that, and that's why I, you know, I, that kind of got me thinking about this fear topic.
No doubt.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I just think that, you know, it's the chronic fear. It's the chronic, you know, high cortisol that I get concerned with my patients, because they don't realize it's just, it paralyzes our immunity. And I think it makes us more prone to bad illness.
Yeah, I think it's almost impossible at different times during, you know, the past year and a half with the pandemic to not either allow media or social media to fuel that natural fear. And right. I think that it becomes an unhealthy cycle where you're already feeling anxious, maybe because of anecdotal stories that you know in your personal life, or you know, like the old adage goes in news, if it bleeds, it leads, right?
Right.
It doesn't make a good story for the 90, you know, plus percent of people that, you know, don't go to the hospital or are just like, you know, quarantine at home and don't have any treatment and then go back to work like it was, you know, a regular, you know, bad cold or flu. So that's not going to make a good news story. You know, what's going to make a good news story is the random 30-year-old that supposedly has no comorbidities that ends up in the, you know, ICU,
right,
which is a huge anomaly. And then, you know, most of the people that end up, you know, in that situation do have some type of, you know, other issue that may or may not even be brought to light in the media that put them in that situation. But right, none of that makes a good story, right? So people right. are just inundated with these stories of, you know, the one-offs that appear to be the rule. Like the, right. And so like you're saying, I mean, just the fact that people are testing positive for COVID, and who knows, it could be a false positive, right? I mean, that does happen. And then they have all these crazy, you know, fear things going on in their head when, you know, they, even if they do have it, like you were saying, the vast majority do fine with it if they don't, you know, deal with other, you know, metabolic disease or chronic disease. So
right.
I think that it's natural in a way, but I think conversations like this, you know, giving people strategies and perspective, I know are helpful, because, you know, everybody, it's natural to deal with some anxiety when you have something like this sweeping the world.
So let's flip the script a little bit at this point. So we've been talking about fear, maybe some context for how fear can arise. We talked about maybe some of the good stuff, but also some of the negatives of especially chronic fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to break down the talk, the rest of the solutions, if you will, into a couple of categories. The first is like just some very practical right off the top of my head. This is stuff I came up with. And then some of the others I thought maybe we could ping around a little bit more detail.
Okay.
The first is, if you're struggling, especially with fear about COVID or, you know, political uncertainties and all these kind of things, I got three major things, and we can kind of chat about these. But the first
sure.
one on that list of like the short list of, you know, what's the first thing you could do? Turn off the damn social media. Turn off the TV. Do
yep.
not watch media cycles over and over and over. Do not get, if it's upsetting to you, do not get in a situation where you are constantly just constantly inundating yourself with the same contextual information. The media, and we have talked about this before, it is specifically designed to trigger fear and also to emphasize negativity. Because that's
yeah.
the way we're geared to notice that more as humans, and it is playing on our neurologic makeup. So that's the first.
Well, I was going to say, and you know, what you're saying is backed by data now that we are away from the last election cycle, where, you know, the former president was driving huge ratings on media channels that were picking him apart and going against him. You know, I mean, some of the ratings dropped 30 or 40%, you know, after the election. You
right.
know, and it's like, did those people just quit watching TV because, yeah, they don't want to, or that they're not tuning in to see them pick apart somebody that they don't like, and
right.
so it's like they're doing something else and going about their life. They're not stuck in the news cycle. But the other comment I wanted to mention on that topic is, when it comes to social media, usually if you see something inflammatory that you want to comment or, you know, argue with somebody, the best thing to do is just keep scrolling. you know, because it's not like you're going to change that person's mind, or you're not going to, you know, show, especially if it's somebody that's got, like, you know, millions of followers that post something. It's like your one comment, one, they probably won't see it, and two, it's not going to change anybody's mind. Then you're going to end up in a hours long Twitter, Instagram, or other battle that's going to, you know, spike your bad hormones as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, it's like I know people that have lost real friends over, you know, somebody that may post something and just, you know, not even know the context, you know, post something that's like, you know, fake news, and then you're arguing with somebody over something that's like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize that was a satire website, you know. So some of these, like The Onion and Babylon Bee, and some of them are very good at posting things that look like it's real, and if you just share it from something else, it's like you just got an argument. It's like, oh, sorry, that's not even real, you know. So you know, you can keep scrolling, you know, you're allowed to do that and not get emotionally invested in something that is going to have a bad end for you. So anyway.
So the next two of this kind of introductory kind of things that I would do right out of the gate, if you're struggling with fear, especially related to COVID or world events and things like that. The second major one besides turn off media is focus on your sphere of influence. And we've covered this a little bit in the past in some various contexts, but the idea that, you know, we can worry about what the president's doing, we can get mad about the governor or what's happening in the state next to us, or we can even worry about, you know, what's happening overseas and Afghanistan and all these things. There's things that are bad that are happening in the world. And if that's in your sphere of influence to do something about those bad things or correct those rights or those wrongs, then that's your sphere of influence. Do something. If you have something you can do. If you don't, then narrow your focus down on those around you. For instance, COVID-19, what can you do? You can make sure that your family is safe. You can make sure that your family is well-fed. You can make sure that your family stays active physically and tries to work on improving their general health. You could, I mean, there's so many things you could do inside your own household to do the best you can to support the people around you. And I'll throw it in there and then bounce it back to you. But the third one on that list, and it's similar to focus on your sphere of influence, is find out who you can impact positively. Okay? Look for others to serve others. And I've seen that a lot in military. I just wanted to ping that one back to you, because what I've seen is that in the military, they do a lot of, like, you know, look to serve the guy next to you, that type of thing. Because often that kind of takes you away from your own fears, and it helps you focus on serving other people. And that tends to be a big winner for a lot of folks when it comes to fear and, you know, anxiety and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the last part definitely has proven out for a lot of veterans that are dealing with, you know, post-traumatic stress is, you know, the organization I do some volunteer work with, it's amazing when you focus on helping somebody else, how it helps you deal with your own stuff, because, you know, you get that dose of dopamine, you know, when you see somebody's face, like when you're helping a kid that, you know, is in a bad situation, or you're telling a story about a veteran that you knew that lost their life or was injured, and you see this resonating with kids, and you're teaching them about character, you know, in the case of the organization I work with. So it's amazing how easy it is to get caught up in our own BS. But if you, you know, and even if so, you know, something is easy, if you have a few extra dollars, I know there was an organization that was working to have civilian pilots go fly to Afghanistan and help, you know, evacuate persecuted Christians and, you know, U.S. citizens that were in other parts of the country that, you know, they couldn't get up to Kabul to be evacuated in Afghanistan for one of the topics you mentioned. And right. So, you know, if you can give, like, you know, I think there's one group that raised $22 million last week in, you know, just trying to, you know, support the cause. And so instead of just getting set at your TV, you know, volunteer in your local community to make, you know, the area around you better, or, you know, give a few dollars that are tax deductible to organizations that are providing relief. You know, so you're at least, like, proactively doing something similar to your health. And we talked about that, I think, in the last, you know, you can't just shelter in place and, you know, don't go outside and think that's the answer. You know, the answer is active and, you know, do things to support you and your family's immune system so that you can feel like, you know, you kind of have that warrior spirit and, you know, that fighter's mentality, which, you know, has, you know, mental and physical benefits to, you know, dealing with, you know, the next wave of you know, COVID. So definitely a lot of different things you can do to not just feel like you're in this cocoon of fear and this, you know, vicious cycle of negativity. You know, do something positive and you know, influence, like you said, your sphere of influence, you know, influence the things you can control, and try to not focus or worry about things you can't control, because that'll just, you know, make you, you know, a negative cycle of fear, you know, that you can't deal with. So,
okay. So, yeah. So those are some acute things that can be done that you know, turning off the media, focusing on your sphere of influence. I love those examples that you just gave, because, you know, if we can positively impact people around us, and everybody's trying to positively impact people around them, I think that starts a wave in the right direction, you know, just socially. But, like, let's talk about the inner citadel, the individual person. You know, there's all kinds of things that I've used myself to, like, just kind of get through stressors and anxiousness and fear and things like that. And if you look online, there's a ton of maybe good ideas. Maybe we could post a couple of these in the show notes. But, you know, there's all kinds of solutions for managing fear. You know, they can be, you know, just throwing out a few, like, you know, you can make lists and explore what you're afraid of. You can examine anxiety and fear. And, you know, take action, get into nature, imagine the worst case scenario. And of course, some of the ones we'll talk about, I thought were more, you know, kind of more focused, would be a few big ones here. And let's go through these individually, Chris. The first one is, I think that, you know, when you look at people's health, generally there's mind, body, and then what's the last one? It's spirit. I think that a lot of fear sometimes can stem from the need to develop our spiritual side. Now, it doesn't have to be religion per se, but it can be. The idea that we start to nurture that part of ourselves that is not our physical and it's not our mental, but it is that, you know, spiritual realm, that understanding that we're part of a bigger picture. For a lot of people, that's a big source and ability to suppress fear. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, when it comes to the spiritual side of things, I think if that is unbalanced, everything else is going to not fall into line, you know. So it's whether if some people, you know, were religious at some point, and then life happens and, you know, you fall away. And a lot of times if you go back to those things that made you strong earlier in your life, you can go back to those, and it really will help you, you know, build that inner fortress so that you can deal better with, you know, things that are going to inevitably come our way. And a lot of times it's as simple as, you know, you may have made some bad decisions. You may have burned some bridges with friends or family. So things as simple as, you know, telling somebody you're sorry that you had a falling out and you haven't talked to, you know, if you had a bad situation with a family member and you've kind of written them off, you know, times like these and you're dealing with the world events and, you know, pandemics, sometimes doing those little things that make you feel better on the inside will definitely, you know, help you from the spiritual aspect.
Yeah, for sure. And a close correlate to what we're talking about with developing your spiritual game is developing an operating system. And we've been, you know, I think last time you checked, we were in, like, I don't know, the top 100 in, you know, iTunes or whatever, philosophy. That's been her, you know, for some reason we ended up in the philosophy category yeah, there. But the reality is we talk a lot about stoicism, and that's an operating system. And, you know, when a stoic looks at the world, the stoic realizes, you know, it's an ancient operating system. It says, I can't control everything that happens to me, but I can make the best decisions in that scenario that I can. And I have to accept what I can't control.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, and you mentioned earlier about, you know, writing down things that cause fear, anxiety, and, you know, one of the Stoic practices was to practice acting like you didn't have money or food.
Right.
You know, try to, you know, pick a month where you
operate on a bare bones budget, and kind of like Dave Ramsey, the financial guru, said sometimes he's like, you got to live like rice and beans, beans and rice, you know, live on a super simple diet with less meat and more vegetables. It'd probably be good for your health anyway. You know, practicing like, hey, worst case scenario, you know, we have to turn off the internet or cable for a couple months to save money. And so I think, you know, writing down and practicing, you know, like you mentioned, the Stoic operating system is like, hey, if I had to do it, I could do it. You know, go camping with your family, you know, and say, hey, you know, if we had to, if, you know, if the grid falls down and doesn't get back up, you know, could we go like live in a tent in the woods for, you know, 4 or 5 days, and, you know, you'll find that it kind of builds up some calluses that make it easier to deal with hardship.
Yeah, which is good. I'm glad you mentioned that with this fear topic, is you're hitting on preparedness, and that's definitely something that preparation is something that, you know, sometimes, you know, the old preppers, you know, the prepper shows and everything, they kind of portrayed people to be kind of squirrely. But yeah, the reality is preparing also can alleviate fears. That's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, no doubt.
The third of the four that I had that I thought were big ones for like the internal citadel, the like, how do you keep yourself on track? I'm a big believer in mindfulness, and I'm gonna probably talk more and more about this over the coming months, because I'm doing a lot of deep diving into this right now. I'm doing some daily meditative practices, and mindfulness is a huge and powerful tool for controlling your mind. When you're mindful, it basically means that you are focused on the present moment, and the present moment is where you try to stay. And so good practices for developing mindfulness is meditation, where you learn to quiet the mind and you learn to witness the mind. And that's the hard, it's hard, but it's also rewarding to do. When you start to witness your own mind, and again, meditation is the tool you do for that. What's interesting is you start to realize things like anger, anxiousness, fear, love, all of, you know, any gamut of emotion, they're just subroutines. They're just things that your mind uses to assimilate information and respond to the world. And when you start to witness them instead of experiencing them, you realize you have a choice. You can choose to be fearful and buckle up and ride that rodeo or that roller coaster, or you can say, I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to understand that fear. I'm going to look at it and examine, where does it come from? Get curious about it. And I think that's a very powerful tool for people that are suffering with fear, because there's very close corollary to anxiety. And as I've mentioned before, anxiety is a situation where you're sort of daydreaming. You're allowing your mind, your like monkey mind, to run away looking at the future that may or may not ever happen. And so I think that's a big, I think mindfulness completely centers me. And I will say mindfulness can be achieved through exercise too. So there's other ways to do it besides meditation. People who do long distance running or different types of extended exercise know that you can get to quite a zen place with physical activity. It doesn't have to be just a sitting practice. Yoga is a very similar, Nidra yoga is one I like to do. You can look that up. But very relaxing and sort of accelerates your rest state. And those are things you can really gather a lot of peace of mind from that.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, I mean, that's how I got into, you know, running at least one full marathon every year. And just the training and the preparation leading up to the event itself, you know, you're running increasingly longer distances every single week for 3 or 4 months. And I got to look forward to it, you know, once, you know, obviously physically, once you get to a point where you can, you know, get your breathing right and, you know, your sweet spot and do some, that's where like heart rate training helps. It's like, you know, how fast you can run a certain pace where you can, you know, extend the distance, and you zone out. And, it's just like some people do it in the shower. Some people do it, you know, in a quiet car driving to work. With nothing on. But yeah, definitely getting in that state is helpful. And I'll say, I'm not sure where I heard this, but it could have been a Stoic quote or, you know, just something in passing. But the idea that the present is really all we have, because you know, when you think about it, the past has already happened. You can't really live that. You can't change it. And the future hasn't happened yet. You're not experiencing it yet. So really all you have, you know, is your present thoughts and your present actions. And so when you focus on that, it is a source of strength, and it tends to quiet your mind and anxiety, because you can't change things in the past. You don't worry too much about the future and realize, like, the current moment is all you have to experience. It's either already happened or hasn't happened yet. So I think those little, just like you said, those little operating system thoughts and way you go about, you know, thinking on your current moment can really help deal with anxiety and fear.
The final one that I wanted to cover, and then we can wrap, is the idea of taking action. And I want to cycle back to the idea with COVID, because there's a lot of things going on, you know, that you know, it just seems like we're always focused on the negative with COVID. And the reality is there's a lot of actions people can take. You can improve your health. You can prepare a quality meal for your family. You can make a choice to lower your insulin resistance, which lowers your inflammatory state. You can choose to become more physically fit and, you know, and take steps to improve your health overall. There's a ton of things that naturally allow us to be stronger and to be more resilient physically. We can get proper sleep. That boosts immunity. You know, there's all kinds of things like that I want people to understand. Action, taking action and moving often reverses the emotion, or it sort of diffuses fear. And this can be true for anything. I mean, let's say you got a big thing you've always been dreaming of doing, or some big, you know, project or you know, a goal, but you really, like, you're afraid of putting yourself out there. I know there's a lot of people like that are kind of afraid of, like, if I do that, then I don't know, you know, people might think differently of me and things like that. But the reality is you got to throw stuff out there, and you got to just go for it and take action. Once you're in motion, I think fear has less power. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I was just going back in my head through some experiences, like I mentioned earlier, just to share personal experiences with, you know, fear or challenging things and what's helped me. But I know, you know, going back to my early adulthood days, like if you have like a bad breakup, you know, with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or, you know, you lose a family member, like our friend, close friend dies, and, the times that I remember when I dealt with that the most is when I kind of focused inward a little bit and controlled the things that I knew were going to make me physically and mentally strong. Right. And that, all the things we talked about, you know, getting physically stronger, doing the things I could to control my health, like eating right, getting sleep, you know, going to church regularly, or at least having some type of spiritual practice, because, you know 100%, both if you want to look at data and statistics or just how you feel when you deal with it, it's like if you know, are rested, you eat well, you're getting more fit, you're dealing with the spiritual side of things, you know, regardless of what happens, you're going to be in a better state. So, you know, think on those things and do those things that, you know, put you in that state. And so for me, that's always, you know, the things that we mentioned. So you can never go wrong in being better prepared dealing with fear if you focus on, you know, all those aspects that are well within your control that will have positive results.
Yeah, I love that. I guess before we close out, I wanted to invite our listeners to the Future Focus Health Network, which we've mentioned before, and we'll put it in the show notes. In that network, we have a tribe that we call the WFO Life Podcast Tribe. And that's where you can ask questions and you can interface with us and, you know, give us ideas, show ideas, things like that. And occasionally I put some special content there. I did put a short episode, kind of a medical topic on COVID, inside the Future Focus Health Network, inside that tribe. So this is a time, it's the first time we've put like content that's not going to be just widely posted to everywhere. It's going to be in that tribe. So you might want to take a look at that and get some of that exclusive content. While you're there, however, I wanted to alert you that there's if you look in the side tab, it's like an app. You can download the app for the Health Network. And in the side tab, it has a stress solutions course. It's under classes. If you are struggling with fear, anxiousness, or lots of stress, I want you to take a look at that class. That class is free. And it also goes through and explains a lot of the science behind, very concise way, but it goes through the science behind how stress and fear and things like that interface with our body physically. And then secondly, it has a solution section that has some of the best stuff that I could put together that I use for my patients to help them deal with stress, fear, things like that. It talks about, you know, books you can read. It's got some podcasts that, you know, you and I, Chris, have done together on various, you know, topics like sleep and fitness and boosting immunity, all these kind of things. So I wanted to make sure people, as we wrap this one, I wanted to make sure that people know that there's some resources out there, and we would love to share those with you. And if you want, you know, message, let me know you found us through the WFO Life podcast. And that always kind of puts a little wind in our sails and keeps us going and creating new content for you. So, Chris, let's end it there. And I appreciate you talking about this and sharing your insights. And I guess I'll catch you later in the week.
Yeah, sounds great. Looking forward to the next one, next time.